Yes, I'm here with Mr. Ginsburg right now. Unfortunately, the pastries have not come yet, so all we're doing is we're licking the jelly off the knife. But Mr. Ginsburg, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, first of all, tell us the scope of your responsibilities as Assistant Secretary for Manpower and Reserve Affairs. What do you do?
Sure. Well, I'm a presidentially nominated Senate-confirmed official responsible for supervising anything related to manpower and reserve affairs in the Air Force. So how we allocate our people, how we take care of our people, including health care, morale, welfare, recreation, and also anything related to the National Guard and Reserve. I'm responsible as a civilian leader to help oversee that, working in partnership with the incredible headquarters led up by our secretary and our chief of staff.
Now, earlier you had a long stint on the Hill as a Senate aide to Senator Patrick Leahy. Tell us what it looks like being in the service versus the view you had from being a Hill staffer.
Sure. Well, I worked for United States Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont for about almost 10 years, who was a key member of the Senate Appropriations Committee that helped fund the Department of Defense. And obviously, from that perspective, we saw the incredible contributions of all of our services that they make, not only in the war efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan, but also more broadly across the globe to protect our security. But now that I'm in the position of Assistant Secretary of the Air Force, I see obviously a greater depth of the contributions, and particularly in the United States Air Force. We have 37,000 airmen right now deployed in support of contingencies, 57,000 airmen abroad overseas, have establishing presence, showing the United States' support for our allies, and always serves as a constant warning to our enemies. And then we have literally over 140,000 airmen who are supporting needs across the globe every single day. So you just when you're operating on the Hill, you obviously see it in your constituencies, but once you get into it and work side by side with the incredible people every day, you really get to see a full appreciation for the contributions that our men and women.
Well, you see how hard they
work. Air Force. That's exactly right.
Well, let's talk about manpower, and this is a capital management conference.
Sure.
There's a lot of changes happening in the Air Force and the armed services. Tell us what the changes are that affect, first of all, let's talk about the uniform workforce.
Sure.
What
sure.
are you seeing?
Well, right now, our men and women in the uniform side, not just in the active duty, but also in the Guard and Reserve, are really working hard to meet the requirements that we have for deployments. So the constant providing armed overwatch in Iraq, the airlift support, you name it, we're providing the armed overwatch, the convoy support, everything, you name it, we're engaged in that. Now, in the future, though, we're also preparing for future contingencies. So we're making sure that we have the right range of investments and technologies, and also that our people have the skills not just to meet the current needs, but also in the future.
And how about
an ongoing challenge.
And what about the civilian side? How are the workforce needs changing there?
Sure.
For the Air Force?
And in similar manner, our civilians are airmen. They are part and parcel of everything that we do. So as our uniformed members go through, bring on new skills, so too our civilians are bringing on new skills. And they're key partners in all of our work.
And we're speaking with Daniel Ginsburg. He's Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Manpower and Reserve Affairs. Now, recently the Secretary Gates, DOD Secretary, said that we need a cap on the civilian workforce, and this is across the board,
yes,
not just the Air Force. How does that affect you and within the force, and how do you make sure morale stays up high, recruitment levels are good when there is this cap coming?
Sure. Well, what the Secretary said is that we're going to need to cap our levels at the number of civilians we had at the end of fiscal year 10, which is about 182,000. So that means that we had some growth plans to go above that. So now we're going to have to relook our growth plans and see whether really do almost a baseline review to make sure that we have our civilians exactly where we want them to basically get the most bang for the buck out of our people. So we're undertaking a very detailed review over the months ahead to make sure that we have our people doing the right thing. And, this adds to the turbulence that our civilians have gone through with the, conversion out of the National Security Personnel System and insourcing and outsourcing contractors over the years. So our civilians have shown themselves to be incredibly resilient and in some ways patient with us as we go through all these changes.
Yeah, so, there has been a lot of turmoil, and one of the things that seems to be settling in is an investment in the training and just hiring of the acquisition workforce. And what's happening in the Air Force in that corner?
Sure, acquisition excellence is a key priority for the Air Force. We want to make sure that we buy when we purchase our systems that they are done they're effective, that they're within cost bounds, and that we really buy everything in a very up-handed and very appropriate manner. So we need to have a supporting group of contractors, financial officials, who really understand mechanics, understand how to work with contractors, and investing in them is a key priority, not just bringing them in, but then making sure that they have the skills to really manage these very sensitive contracts.
Now, also in the Air Force, moving over to the uniform side, there is that over-end strength issue, and the Air Force recently said you're going to have to winnow down the officer ranks.
That's right.
How do you go about that, and how does that affect the people that are in the running to either stay or possibly be asked to go?
Sure. Well, as you know, Congress, we are Congress's military. Congress, through Article 1, Section 8, raises and supports the military, and they tell us how many people that we can have to carry out our missions, and we only get so much money to actually meet that end strength. And when we go over that end strength, we then have to find resources in other areas, and that can pinch into investment into military construction, to other ways we want to invest in our people. So we are at a point where, because of the economy, we are at a 16-year high in terms of retention. And our people are staying, so we're over our end strength, and they're also not necessarily in the areas where we exactly have to have them. So we're taking a series of measures to encourage some of our service members to leave.
How's that going over so far?
Well, you know, some of it's voluntary, but some of it's involuntary. So we're having to go through various board processes, various reviews, to determine who we would like to ask to leave the service. And what's key to the success of this is communication with our service members and making sure that they know if they get involved in this process, we are there with them even if we ask them to leave. And then we have a series of programs to help them transition into new lines of a new life. But we also have a very strong alumni association. We want them to know how successful our alumni are, not just in the federal government, but also in the civilian sector, and that there are many opportunities, and
so
that they're still part of the family.
Life after the Air Force.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Daniel Ginsberg is Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Manpower and Reserve Affairs. Thanks very much for joining me.
Oh, a real honor to be here.
And reporting live from the Human Capital Management for Defense Conference in Arlington, Tom Temin, Federal News Radio. Radio 1500 AM.